Good Monday morning, Pastor Tony. This is Monday Minutes Podcast Teaching. I am always so excited to spend some time with you on Mondays to really truly just have a conversation together around discipleship, for us to learn together and grow together and discuss some topics and think, because the purpose of these podcasts are not to really to evangelize. This is not a recording of our services here at the Refuge Church, obviously. These are teaching podcasts, and I really want them to be a conversation, and I really want them to be a time in which we sit and think about issues concerning God and God's Word and the world and all that we're facing, so that we can grow in Christ Jesus together. So thank you for joining me today. You can always encourage people to join on to these. If you enjoy these Monday Minute Podcast teachings, tell someone about it. That's what I want to encourage you to do. You can share the link for the podcast on your social media platform, or you can also just tell people to go to our website, therefugenm.com, click on Pastor's Podcast, and it will link you to all of these podcasts. There is a archive of all of our episodes. Everything is free. It's all there. All you have to do is tell someone to listen to it so we can grow together. I hope you're having a good Monday morning. I challenge us every single Monday. Philippians 4:4, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. You know, it really comes down to a decision. I'm a big believer in not allowing my emotions to control me. And when we allow our emotions to control us, we become like a slave to our emotions. And then the people that pull on our strings become the control agent of our emotions. And so I say today, cut the strings, be set free, and do not allow yourself to be an emotional puppet to someone's strings. Amen. There's a word for someone on Monday morning. So, you know, as always, hope you're having a great day and that your life is blessed. If you have prayer requests, I would love to partner with you in prayer. I believe in the power of Matthew 18:19. Jesus said, when two or three shall agree on anything, it shall be done. That's called partnership in prayer, intercessory partnership, an agreement, the power of agreement. So let me know if you have prayer requests. I would love to come into agreement with you. All right, so this is part two of a new topic that we have delved into, and this is right. Talk about something that's relevant. I mean, right now, present day, hot off the press talk. Are you woke? You know, this whole issue of wokeism, this whole issue of being woke is truly a right now, present tense cultural issue that is in fact affecting the church. That's right. It is in fact affecting the church. And so we started talking about what it means to be woke last episode together. And so, you know, just a simple Google definition of the word woke would teach you that woke or wokeism is a modern day political movement to challenge inequalities, injustices, and racial divisions. So, you know, when you look at the definition of what it means to be woke, well, I mean, I can agree with some of those things, obviously. I mean, I'm a lot of things, but I am not prejudiced. I am not discriminative. And I do not strive to be a man that treats people different because of the color of their skin, because of their gender, or because of any choice they make in life. I'm going to give everyone an equal playing field. On that surface definition, wokeism doesn't seem too bad. On that surface definition, it almost seems commendable. But the issue with wokeism is, in reality, in practicality, it is a political arm of the liberal movement. It is a political push from the liberal movement that is questioning all things moral. Well, once again, I agree, some things do need to be questioned. There are some moral beliefs and standards in culture or cultural norms that are questionable, but in my view, this whole subjective modern day mentality of just you decide what's right for you and I'll decide what's right for me, that altruistic ethical mentality of our culture, the problem with that mentality is there has to be something more than subjective rules when it comes to morality. Because if morality is merely subjective, we all could disagree with everyone and we all can make up our own rules and treat each other however we want to. There has to be some objectivity in morality, and if it's going to be an objective moral, it needs to come from the God that made everything. And so therein lies the problem. We are living right now. Now, my friends, I want you to get with me on this, and I say my friends because not everyone who listens to these call me pastor. But those of you that call me a pastor, call me a pastor. But others who go to other churches, I'll just call you my friend, all right? But if I'm your pastor, I'm more than just your friend. I'm your pastor, and that's another teaching for another day. But anyway, I'll just say to all of us today on this Monday, I want you to know right now, you are living currently in a post-Christian moral climate where everything is subjective. And so the issue of being woke or wokeism is questioning morality. And the real problem with wokeism is where it gets down to questioning the Word of God. You say, okay, fine, Pastor, I get it. I'm not woke. I mean, I'm not. So what's the big deal? Why are we having this discussion on Monday morning? Great question. I'm glad you asked it. The reason why we are having this question today is because it is affecting believers. It is like ink that's been spilled on top of a table, and there's cracks on the table, and it's seeping down through the cracks and dripping below and leaving a residue everywhere it goes. It is leaving a residue upon the hearts and minds of believers. And more believers, well, how do you define people who confess Jesus Christ as Savior and follow after him in discipleship? That's what I call a believer. So born-again people that are walking after Jesus in daily discipleship, a believer, more and more believers are getting confused about morality and are beginning to ask the question, well, maybe that should be challenged, or maybe this should be challenged, or maybe that should be looked at. So that's why we're talking about this. That's why it's an issue for us. You say, okay, great, I'm a Christian, it's Monday, I'm listening to this. I wouldn't be listening to this if I didn't love Jesus. I'm listening to Pastor Tony today because I want to learn more about how to grow in Christ. Great, because I want to raise up some people who are willing to stand in these latter days. Because Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that the Spirit says expressly in the latter days, there's going to be people giving attention to false doctrines and seducing spirits. Listen to me. There is so much false teaching in the world, even in the church world. People are getting confused. So my issue today is for us to have a Monday morning conversation and clear up the confusion. And so I said all that last week, and I made the case for this last week, and we talked about wokeism, and we talked about all these things. So here is the question for us today. Why are we talking about the Bible? Because if you were with me last time, I started going into the Bible and I started talking about facts about the Bible and how the Bible was written and how the Bible's composed and all of that. You say, Pastor, why did you go into all of that? Well, the reason why I went into all of that is because the only way we're going to stand against wokeism is to stand by the Word of God. The only way you're going to be able to get up in practical world to go out and do your job and shop at the store and go to the doctor's office and have family functions and maintain your faith in these latter times is standing by the Word of God. Now listen, I'm all for a good hearty discussion about how we shouldn't have prejudice. I'm with you. I'm all for a good hearty discussion about the evils of slavery. I'm with you. I'm all for a good hearty discussion about how we shouldn't treat Hispanics different than people, you know, that have white skin. I'm all with you. I'm all with you that people shouldn't be judged based upon their gender. But you see, the problem is wokeism now has even seeped its way into gender. Because now we can't even decide what gender we are. And we're having an argument in the church world. My, somebody help me. I don't want to preach. Someone tell me to stop preaching. Shout, stop preaching wherever you are. My. We are having an argument right now in the church world, even in the Church of God from Cleveland, Tennessee. In my very own movement, of which I'm an ordained bishop, we are having an argument right now about gender and gender selection and gender pronouns. And the woke culture would say, just because you have a biological sex doesn't mean your gender needs to line up with that. And the woke culture would say that I'm a bigot and a hateful, mean person, all because I say that healthy psychology says there are two genders, male and female. Now, that would be considered, in the woke culture, that would be considered hateful. That would be considered discriminative. Now, see, I'm all with you about discrimination, and I'm all with you about treating people fairly. And I'll treat anyone fairly if I meet them on the street. I get it. I understand that. There's a way to talk to people. Matter of fact, you can't even share your faith with people. Come on. You want a nugget on Monday about evangelism? You cannot even share your faith with people without treating them kindly and respectfully. I'm all about that. You know, I'm all about that. The old days of America where a boy who was gay would get beat up and nearly beat to death and left on the side of the road by the football team because he was gay, that's wrong, my friend. And I would stand up for that gay person and I would say, don't you dare beat that person up. I'm with you on that kind of thing. But where I cross the line is where I'm being told in a woke culture that I have to tell the person who's gay they're okay with God. Where I cross the line, and I know some people are confused in their mind. I know I'm into psychology. I mean, I study psychology. My dissertation is a psychological study on revitalization. I'm into psychology. I love learning about psychology. I understand that some people have issues and confusions on the inside. But where I cross the line is, and yes, we show them love, and yes, we show them grace, and yes, we show them mercy, and yes, we show them hospitality, and yes, we hug them and say, I love. Yes, 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 absolutely. But where I cross the line is, where we stop telling people it's a psychological problem that your gender doesn't line up with your biological sex. But see, this is where wokeism comes in. Okay, well, how do we stand against these things in these last days? That's a great question for Monday morning. How do we stand against these things in the last days? Well, the answer to how we stand against these things in the last days is to stand upon the Word of God. To do what I said in the last episode, to go back to the book. Don't go woke, but go back to the book. And when I said don't go woke, and by the way, I understand, when I said last time, don't go woke, but go back to the book, I didn't mean go backwards in progression in the world. I mean go back to a foundation of the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. The Word of God is healing. The Word of God is freedom. The Word of God is liberation. Who's with me this morning? Come on, somebody shout amen. Who is with me this morning? I don't know about you. The world's getting tough to deal with. The world's getting, but guess what? The good news is we've been selected for a time such as this. Think about this right now with me, please. I mean, put your thinking caps on and think about this with me. If God wanted you to be born in 1786, you would have been. If God wanted you to be born when the first great awakening was taking place, you would have been. If God wanted you to live during the 1950 tent revivals, you would have lived then. But God chose to place you right here when God did. Why? Because he saved you for these latter days. So we need not back down and be spiritual pansies. We need to stand up and be strong women and strong men and strong teenagers and defend the word of truth in love and in grace. So how do we do all of that? How do we stand firm in wokeism in the face of a woke culture and in a culture that's turned against God, in a culture that's backwards against God, in a culture that calls truth false and false truth? How do we stand? Well, we stand by the Word of God. And that's why we're having a discussion about the Word of God. Because I want to encourage you to go back to the book and stand on the Word of God. So I kind of asked a question last week, where does the Bible come from? We talked about that. We talked about the makeup of the Bible. We talked about 2 Peter 1:20, how holy men of God wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they all wrote in their own languages and their own styles. We talked about 66 books in the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament. We talked about the three different languages the Bible was written in, and I laid that foundation on purpose. I gave you the composition of the Bible, the composition of the Old Testament and the New Testament. I mean, 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New, the Pauline letters and the Petrine letters and the Johannine letters. And we talk about all of that, the four Gospels, three Synoptic. I mean, we talked about the Bible last week and a foundation of where the Bible came from. You say, why are we talking about that, Pastor? Because we're trying to encourage us today that the Bible is trustworthy. That the Bible is dependable, that we can stand, hallelujah, we can stand on the Bible. And the only hope we have in a woke postmodern culture is to stand on the Bible. So let's kind of progress in that discussion this morning. And I'm trying to encourage us how to build ourselves up. Hey, listen, it's getting darker out there. It's getting tougher out there. The woke culture is taking over. It's bleeding into the church. It's leaving its residue everywhere. People are struggling now and standing for truth. And so I want to encourage us today to stand for truth. How are we going to stand for truth, you might ask? By the Word of God. So let me ask a question this morning that would kind of take our conversation a little bit deeper in the importance of the Word of God. And that is this. We talked about where the Bible come from and the basic facts. Now let's go a little bit deeper today and let's talk about this. Can the Bible be trusted? Is the Bible correct? Now I know some of you are going to give an automatically. Of course it can be trusted. Of course it's correct. But others might wonder, hold on just a minute. Let's unpack that for just a moment. Is the Bible right? When 1 Timothy talks about sodomites being equal with other types of lost people going to hell, is that still true? I mean, over 75% of the world, but the country says that's not true. A growing number of Christians say that's not true. So while we say one thing and while we say we believe the Bible, a growing number of people are becoming woke and they're believing culture over the Bible. Oh boy, here we go. Someone shout, here we go. I mean, if we're going to have this discussion, we might as well have it. Many people say they believe the Bible is the Word of God, but then they look at the Bible and say, well, tithing is no longer relevant. That's not, I have a different opinion of that. Many people use the Bible to condemn women. Many people used the Bible in the past to support slavery. So maybe someone might ask the question today, are we misusing the Bible and saying that homosexuality is a sin? Are we misusing the Bible when saying that gender selection is psychological confusion? Are we misusing the Bible today when we say we shouldn't kill babies? Are we misusing the Bible today when we say that divorce is not God's plan? Oh my, we might as well get deep if we're going to get deep. Are we misusing the Bible? And that's a question that real live people with flesh on their bones are asking today in this culture. Mercy, that's true. People are asking that question. I'm talking about believers. I'm talking about churchgoers. So let's talk about it. Is the Bible trustworthy? Can we trust the words on the page? Can we believe what the book says? When I say don't go woke, but go back to the book, can we trust the book? Well, what we need to understand, boy, I tell you, I've dug deep today. What we need to understand, I feel like I'm digging a hole and my head's popping out of the ground. Amen. There's a big pile of dirt beside me and I've been digging. I've dug myself into a deep conversation. What we need to understand is that the Bible is not just a book. Now listen, if the Bible was just a book, I wouldn't trust it as far as I could toss it across the room. That's right, I said that. If the Bible was just a nice book with inspired thoughts, I would have trouble with some of the things I read, frankly. But the Bible is the self-revelation of God. The Bible is God's living word. In Hebrews, the Bible says, the writer of Hebrews, rather, talking about the Bible, says that the Bible, logos, the word, is alive. In John, chapter 1, the writer of John talks about in the beginning was the word, logos, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So Jesus, second person in the Trinity, is called Logos, the living word. May I say that the Savior of the world is the living word. The Bible that you hold in your hand is just a printed copy of the living word. Think about it that way. The book that you read is a living copy, is a printed copy, rather, of the living word. So the Bible can be trusted, yes, because it's not just an inspired book. But it is the living word of God. So Scripture was inspired by God because Scripture is the printed version of the living God. Meaning that that book represents God. That book represents God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Scripture means the holy written document that represents the living God. And that word inspiration means divinely breathed, which means God breathed out His own revelation. Think about it. That book is not just a holy moral code. It is the living, breathing, printed version of the living, breathing God's revelation. So yes, it's trustworthy. And that's why we got to believe what it says over our own thinking. The only way to stand up against wokeism, my friends, I'm teaching. Come on, I'm trying to help someone. I'm trying to encourage you and exhort you and build you up on a Monday morning to stand firm in the faith in the face of a woke culture. How? By standing on the Word of God and believing what the book says versus what I think. That's the problem in the church world, in this postmodern woke culture. We're going by what we think more than what the revelation says. This means that we must believe that all scripture was breathed by God, or that all scripture originates from God, is God's self-revelation to humanity. So therefore, I'm making the point today that scripture is more than simply a literary rhetorical document. Yes, there's rhetorical devices in the Bible. Yes, there's metaphors. And yes, there's literary devices. And yes, there's poems and songs and similes. Yes. Now, in our next episode, we're going to talk about rightly dividing that word and getting good interpretation from that word. We can mess up interpretation really bad and have bad doctrine. Do bad doctrines come from God's word? No. Men and women orchestrate bad doctrines by misinterpretations from God's word. That's the truth. But God's word is breathed from the very nature of who God is, from the living God himself. So this is vital. Someone shot vital on Monday morning. This is vital for us to know, because our culture rejects what I'm saying right now. What I'm saying right now will be labeled hate speech by Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, CBS, all of them. Why? Because we live in a culture that wants to think for itself subjectively in a postmodern, altruistic fashion. That's why. But I'm trying to teach and raise up some of us to say, I was made for these lighter times. I was designed by God for these lighter times. And I'm not going to drop the ball. I am going to walk in love, and I am going to walk in grace, and I am going to love people, and I am going to help people, but I'm going to stand by the Word of God. So how do we stand up in the face of a woke culture? We stand by the Word of God. Is the Word of God trustworthy? Absolutely. Why? Because it's more than just a literary rhetorical book. It's more than just inspired sayings. It's more than just a nice thought. It's more than just moral code. It is God's living, it is the printed reflection of the living God. So what it says is what I must go by. So I want to encourage you, as we wrap our talk up today, I want to encourage you to decide for yourself right now, I'm going to stand by the book. And I'm not going to allow myself to get pulled into anything else, because God's self-revelation is trustworthy. Will this be countered in culture with argumentation that the book's been fabricated by man? Yes. But you see, the problem is the Bible in its original form. By the way, for you geeks like me that like theology, the Bible in its original form is called autographs. And the autographs were written in Hebrew, Koine Greek, and Aramaic. And the original autographs are what are completely without error. Those autographs. Now, are there interpretation issues sometimes? Yes. Are there translation issues sometimes in certain translations? Yes. That's why we have to study. That's why we have to search out the scripture, look up definitions, do word studies, read culture, read context in that culture of that day. That's why we have to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that need not be ashamed. Yes. But the Bible in its original form is not in error. It's trustworthy. Why? Because it's the revelation of God. So I want to encourage you today as we wrap this up, I want to encourage you today to get back to the book, stand firm, build yourself up, recognize that you were made for such a time as this, and it's your job to build yourself up in Christ Jesus, to stand upon the Word of God. So do it today in Jesus' name. Spend 5 minutes in the Bible today. Would you do that? Would you just take that challenge? I want you to spend 5 minutes minimum in the Bible today. Get the Bible in your heart. Get the Bible in your mind. Get the Bible in your spirit. Amen. Build yourself up in the Word of God. All right? Have a blessed day. If these bless you, let them be a blessing to somebody else. Tell your friends to go to therefugenm.com, click on Pastor's Podcast, or share the feed for this podcast. Let somebody else know about it. Have a great day. We love you. Be blessed today. Amen.